Now we come to process theories of motivation. When I apply content theories of motivation, I'm talking about outside conditions. All of us will agree that in a room which is very comfortable by and large, it is expected that people sitting in the room will be motivated. But we all know that some of them still show signs of demotivation. They feel uncomfortable, etc., etc. Does it not happen? Now we ask, what motivates? XYZ motivates, so we fill the room with XYZ. But we notice that some people are not motivated, so we have to ask a question, why are they not motivated and how to motivate them? So this two or three theories are covered here, which the first one is called as Victor Vroom's expectancy theory, which is about internal factors of people. Victor Vroom stated that motivation of any individual depends on the desired goal, underline that, it's there on the slide, and the strength of his expectation. I am delivering this video shoot. I have a desired goal that this should reach you in the way I have planned, in the way it makes a transformative thinking in you about human behavior, in the way in which each of you are able to address your behavior and others in a very positive way. This desired goal of mine would depend on the strength of my expectation. My expectations, if they are very high, I want every individual who is listening to me to do this, then it's correlated. The motivation of any individual depends on the desired goal and the strength of his expectations of achieving the goal. If both of them are pretty strong, then I would be putting in my best of effort. This is within me, not outside. So regardless of whether I have a fantastic room or whether I have a good support system, I may still do it because it's inside story, not outside. And there have been instances, let me confess, in certain scenarios, in certain companies, in certain other institutes where I used to go to teach, where outside conditions have not been very supportive due to whatever reasons. No criticism against them. But if the outside conditions are controlling me, then my inside will not be in a position to flourish. So if any one of us have to feel motivated, address the inside, address your needs, address your expectations, and then do it. Regardless of the surroundings, you can still perform. So here, Victor Vroom is stating three factors. First, he calls it as valence. You must have heard the word valency in chemistry, which is basically to do with the strength of a particular element in the periodic table. We have got silver at the most unstable, followed by, if you go to the periodic table down below, we have got the noble metals like silver, like gold and platinum, etc. So valence means how stable, how strong you are. So it is the strength of an individual's preference for a particular outcome. How much of staying power do I have? When a person prefers attaining outcome, valence is positive. Not attaining outcome, valence is negative. Well, I just want to do it. I've been told to do it. That's low valence. But I have this strength of staying, but I want to do it. There's a positive thing. My valence is very high. I'm very stable despite the challenging situations. Then I do it. Next point is instrumentality. Instrumentality. It's a degree to which first level outcome will lead to or is instrumental in achieving the second level outcome. Victor Vroom talks about two levels of outcome in motivation. Two levels of outcome in a motivation. Let's say you are listening to my lecture right now, and the personal contact program, which is a physical, you will be meeting me in the classroom, is about to happen next month. Let's assume. So you are listening to the lecture. Based on the lecture, you have an expectation, let's say, that I would like to attend the personal contact program class. Physically, I would like to come to the institute and attend the lecture. What's the expectation? That after listening to the video lecture, that lecture might also be good. Or I would like to learn more. There must be some expectation from you. So with that expectation, you come there. So when you come there, you need to be rewarded. Isn't it a fact? What is the reward? The reward is, I must live up to your expectations there also. So that first level outcome is nothing but when you come there, it should take care of that particular expectation should be fulfilled. If I live up to your expectations and I give you the reward, I'm using the word reward. If I give you the reward of fulfilling your expectations, then you will stay and go to the second level outcome, which is basically the understanding the whole thing, staying on and actually absorbing and learning and taking it further. If on the other hand, you come to the personal contact program and not up to your mark, your expectation, then the first level outcome is taken care of, you'll run away, you may not come back again. So many times we do something with an expectation. And with every expectation, I'm expecting a reward. Reward is not about money. Reward is not about pat in the back. Reward is something different. My expectations have to take me to the next level of motivation to stay on, do the job, grow. That's why many of you, when you go to an organization for an interview, your expectations are XYZ. It's not even known to many, to the interviewer. And you say something and your expectations are in there. You have some idea about the organization and the profile. You join it. And then you find that this is not what I wanted and you quit quickly. So when I sit in the interview panel, I apply this particular theory and try to gauge what are your expectations. That's the third point. Expectancy is a probability from 0 to 1 on the strength of a belief that a particular action or effort will lead you to a particular first level outcome. So you are sitting on the interview chair, I am sitting on the interviewer's chair, I am asking you questions. Now I really want to know why you want this job. I really want to know why should I give you this particular offer. Then I make you talk. So when you talk to me, you give away what are your expectations. You are imagining that this company is this, you are imagining that this profile is that, and that imagination have to draw you into the reality check. Look, this is what we are offering you. Sometimes you get carried away by your peer group. Sometimes you get carried away by what people are saying without even knowing what the organization is all about. Very few youngsters, they research on a company and come for interviews and research on themselves to begin with. So when this expectancy comes, if I don't do this part of conversation with you, of asking you what do you want, etc., etc., then I might be blissfully thinking that you are meant for this company, I may hire you. And you have never voiced your expectancy to me, neither have I asked you. After you join the company, hardly 3 months, 4 months, 6 months down the line, a bright youngster like you would leave the company. This can happen not with youngsters alone, it can happen at any level. Now this plays a very major role within all of us. Remember, this first level outcome and second level outcome are fantastically understood by you. You must know, why am I doing this? Because I'm expecting this. Why am I expecting this to happen? Because after doing this, this is what will happen. If the first one doesn't happen, you run away. If the first one is reinforced by rewards and by taking you further, then the second one will 100% happen. So identify in your own lives the various things on which you are motivated to do something. You did it and you went further. That means this theory has worked in you. Identify those other aspects in your life where you have done something and you backed out. I want to go for fitness. I want to go to the gym. So you enrolled in the gym hoping that in 15 days, 20 days, 1 month you will become say 5 kilos less or 6 kilos less as somebody claims. And you go there, it doesn't happen, so you come back. Or you go with your own expectation saying that this is going to happen and you go there and you stay there and you find that actually the health thing has come. To my mind, to my experience, if the first level outcome is not as per your expectations, stay on for some time and then see that the second level outcome will actually come. It will also clear a lot of your perceptions about what you need to expect. It's a very important thing to understand. One of the ways in which you retain people is to understand first level and second level outcomes. Now we come to Potter and Lawler model. They state that performance depends upon the following factors. If employee wants to perform, he must be motivated. He must also have necessary skills and abilities, and he must have accurate knowledge of the requirements of the job. This is the prerequisite. Okay? The key variables in performance will be effort, which is exerted only when the individual feels that his efforts will lead to reward. Similar to the earlier model of Victor Vroom, this is slightly different, however. Hence, he needs motivation as a force to exert effort. For him to put in efforts, I need to motivate him either by positive or negative reinforcement. Performance, only when effort is accompanied with ability, it will lead to performance. So he needs to have the ability, the skill. So he may want to do it, so let me give him the ability, let me coach him, let me train him. So when that comes, then the performance puts into action. Next, what happens? The reward. The person gets intrinsic reward. Now, underline the word intrinsic. Within me, when I feel nice and satisfied, that is called as intrinsic reward. There are two words which we use in motivation: success and satisfaction. Which comes first? It's, will you feel satisfied only when you succeed, or will you feel satisfied and then success will come to you? I believe the second one is more important. If I'm feeling satisfied with what I do, my success automatically comes. If I'm going to say that I will be satisfied only after I succeed, then I may miss out. I may miss out. Not always, but I may. Intrinsic rewards like accomplishment when he performs a task. Extrinsic rewards like promotion are offered by the organization. Extrinsic rewards have to be in line with the intrinsic rewards. If I'm able to design the rewards in such a way that is he feeling satisfied? When he's feeling satisfied from within, then if I give him extrinsic rewards, he will definitely be with the company. He will do higher performance. If I'm not gauged that he's not feeling intrinsically rewarded, within him he doesn't feel good, and then I give him extrinsic reward, it's of no use. Satisfaction, it depends upon the perceived rewards, mind you, not actual rewards. I'm expecting a pay increase of say 20,000 and I have got only 15,000. So my perceived reward is low. I'm not feeling happy, I'm not satisfied. Actual reward is pretty good. 15,000 pay increase is pretty good, but I'm expecting 20,000. So I'm not satisfied. Now there I have to go back to the expectation. Am I expecting realistically? There's a very long story behind that. Right? If he feels he should have received more, then he feels dissatisfaction, and vice versa. Right? Now we come to Adams' equity theory. Stacey Adams' equity theory, this is called as Stacey Adams' equity theory. It's based on a very simple fundamental about life. Human beings compare each other no matter at what levels we are. We are constantly comparing with each other. This comparison is usually blatant or it is latent. Either within me, I'm thinking about comparing myself with, I compare myself with someone, or I compare openly. This is the way social systems operate. It states that a major input into a job performance and satisfaction is a degree of equity or inequity that the people perceive in their work situations. In the next slide, there's an equation. Okay? It simply says that my performance and satisfaction is a degree that I perceive with the work situation. It states that a major input into the job performance and satisfaction, input versus satisfaction, this is the ratio this is talking about, is a degree of equity. Equity means the feeling that we both are being given a fair equation. If this feeling is coming in me, then I feel satisfied. I have done X amount of work, I got reward Y. You have done P amount of work, you got Q. If this equation is felt by me, felt within me, that it's okay, then I feel that I have been democratically rewarded. I feel good about myself. Inequality occurs when persons perceive that the ratio of his outcomes to inputs compared to the others are unequal, which the next slide will explain. Now here is a slide which talks about equity occurs when the outcome by A divided by the input by A is seen to be equal, perceived to be equal of outcome by B by input by B. The ratio, it is not a mathematical ratio, it is a feeling that comes. I must feel that for what I did, I got this much amount of compensation, this much amount of rewards. And for what he did, he got that much amount of rewards. Actually, I got no business to think about him, but this is the way we are. This is the way we are. So we compare. And if I perceive that whatever efforts he put, that rewards he has got is okay, then I'll feel happy and satisfied. Then I'll work with him, I'll feel motivated. If on the other hand, I feel otherwise, I feel no, he's got more, I've got less, then dissonance sets in and we can't work as a team. Now, what's the role of the manager? The manager's role is to ensure that people are given informal feedback from time to time, so that at the time when the rewards are being awarded, post appraisal or whatever process you're doing, at that point of time it doesn't come like a shocker. Because in many cases I've seen, this equation plays a very crucial role, a critical role post appraisal. After appraisal, you must have noticed some groups of people are sitting in corners of, you know, canteens and all that, and they're talking. Some of them are very animated and happy, some of them are feeling not so happy. It's because in organizations there are times when the appraiser takes place on a date X, 6 months down the line or 1 year down the line, after that the appraisal takes place. In between, there's not much of informal feedback and conversation that takes place. Managers are seen to give hints, but not blatant output about outcomes and inputs. They are seen to give hints, and hints are never caught properly. So if this sort of a thing is consciously done, if you really care for your job as a manager, if you care for your team, if you care for your company, the suggestion is that ensure that in the team you are giving frequent inputs, informally frequent inputs to those people about their working, about their work output as well as whatever they are doing. If I am frequently talking to my team members on this particular aspect, will they feel let down on the day of the appraisal and beyond? They won't, because they already set the tone. You have given them early warning signals. This is my suggestion to ensure that an equity arises. If the perceived ratio of A is not equal to that of B, then there's a likelihood of A striving to restore the ratio to equity. If I feel that I've not been properly rewarded, what's the next thing that happens? Out of sheer desperation, I start working. Am I working out of need? No. The need is to match with the other person. This is good as a healthy competition up to a point. Beyond a point, if the top management is not into healthy competition, if they do not make this as one of those competitive spirits, then we have a problem. What happens is A works to become B, and he becomes B, then B is working towards A, and from the top everybody is watching the fun. Sorry to use the word. This might happen. So check out. If I want to make my boys feel the pressure of comparison, let me do this as a strategy so that they start competing with each other and within themselves, so that they can give a better group output. That can be done. Now we talk about cognitive evaluation theory. It states that introduction of extrinsic rewards, salary perks that have been previously intrinsically rewarded due to the pleasure associated with the content of the work, tend to decrease the overall level of motivation. Lots of words. This is the same thing which I mentioned about in the earlier one, Porter Lawler, that is being said in a different way. If I'm going to give you more and more money, more and more rewards, extrinsic, but intrinsically you're sinking down, it will not motivate you, it will decrease the level of motivation. That's what it means. Use of extrinsic rewards result in deviation outcome of the intrinsic rewards. So balance them together. That's very important. See, some of you may not agree what I'm going to say now. I believe that satisfaction and success should go hand in hand, but satisfaction should be ahead of success. Success meaning the extrinsic rewards. That's why I believe that, you know, outcomes, rewards should not be too very vulgarly large. Today what's happening is organizations are hiring people, literally buying them out. Sorry to use the word. So when I give you disproportionate packages, the package becomes your focus rather than the job rewards, the intrinsic rewards. Now, if I give you something which is taking care of your basics and little more, and make the compensation little manageable and realistic to the position, and make the person work towards experiencing intrinsic rewards more and more, then it works. In organizations where I do work, I've noticed that those organizations which are having proportionately decent packages, the employees are satisfied. At the same time, they are not raring to go because the culture is very supportive. There's a very large IT major in India which actually does this, and you find that the attrition, the rate at which people are leaving, is absolutely minimum. Okay. Goal setting and feedback theory. It states that intentions to work towards a goal are a major source of work motivation. Like I mentioned earlier, the goal is there. The pressure of wanting to reach the goal is actually motivating me to go and do it because I have a achievement need. Effective goals lead to desirable performance as they direct the employee in the right and the desired direction based on strategies. So effective goals which have to be done with a lot of effectiveness, and they are goals for keeps for full time, for all times to come. These goals usually find employees going the direction. See, there are goals which companies set, which are moving goals, which are very random. If I achieve one goal and I do another goal which is not consistent, people tend to stray away. Effective goals are the ones wherein I am able to sustain and go further and further and higher and higher. Okay? Goal setting and feedback theory, some characteristics are explained in this slide. Goals should be specific and have clarity in achieving and activities to be performed. Goals should be relevant to the employee. Goals should be challenging to satisfy the need of the achievement of employee. Goals should have employee involvement, and there should be provision for feedback as it increases efficiency. I don't need to elaborate, these are all self-explanatory. Self-efficacy theory of motivation under process series. Self-efficacy is an individual belief. It's an individual's belief that he is capable of performing a task. When I believe that I can do it, my self-efficacy is high. People with higher levels of self-efficacy have higher confidence in their skills, competencies and knowledge. Higher levels of self-efficacy acts as a motivation factors for high performance. It can be increased by the following ways. Enactive mastery. Enact means act upon, do it. So when you do it, people who are into more of skills, they start believing that they can do it. So enactive mastery. Vicarious modeling. I model based on certain types of people who have achieved and start looking at them and start making things happening in that direction. Verbal persuasion. Talking to them, persuading them, not pushing them too hard. Giving them arousals in the form of showing something that's happening. Would you like to be part of it? Giving them that feel and they get enticed to go towards it. It's also called as operant conditioning theory. Now this is explained differently in another chapter. Principles of learning and motivation are used to the process of influencing the motivation and job performance of people. It states that actions that result in positive consequence tend to repeat more often than those with negative consequence. If I'm doing something and I'm getting results, I feel motivated to do it again. If I'm doing something and I'm not getting results, I don't feel like doing it again. If I do something and I'm getting results, so the organization keeps me rewarding. I go positively. If I do something and I'm not getting results, then the organization stops me, checks me, what is it that I'm doing wrong, and then gives me a type of a negative reinforcement. If you do this again, you will not get this, I will withdraw this from you. So that becomes a sort of a alarm bell for me to say that I shouldn't continue with the same behavior. Four types of reinforcement. We talk about negative, positive reinforcement. I've already explained. Employees provided with desirable event like high salary, praise, etc. Negative reinforcement, withdrawal of a negative reinforcement, strict supervision or harassment, withdrawing. Rather, you do that. I'm sorry. The positive behavior tends to occur more frequently. Punishment, when an unpleasant event occurs following some behavior, it makes the behavior less likely to occur. Extinction, it occurs when the withdrawal of a desirable factor results in a behavior becoming less likely to occur in the future. Withdrawal of encouragement for good performance. Now, I want you to perform well, and I keep telling you, you don't do it. So when I stop telling you, there's a likelihood through extinction principle that you might do it better. There are some people who respond to extinction. Okay? So, friends, that's the end of this session. I hope you really enjoyed and learned a lot. See you in the next chapter. All the best.